So we've saved the best team for last. We haven't saved the best guest because there is no guest. Charlie and I have talked about Forge enough over the past 6 months or so, specifically since October. They're in the CONCACAF League, and a run that ended just this month, quite unceremoniously. We've talked a lot about the loss to Marathon on the regular podcast, but this is about 2020. So how would you summarize 2020 for Forge FC, Charlie? We were kind of already talking about it. It can get boring to talk about Forge at times, but in the best way, because they're just doing it. They're just proving it over and over and over again. So what do you think is the storyline for Forge is this year?
I think really up until the very, very end, like maybe the last game of the season, it was just steady, reliable, consistent upwards trajectory, right? Mm-hmm. Like they were better every game than they were the game before. They just, like throughout the Island games, I mean, they had moments where there was some kind of things didn't go their way. I mean, they lost once, but I mean, every single time, like they never seemed worried about anything. They never seemed particularly phased. Whenever we talked to Bobby Smyrniotis, he'd kind of shrug it all off and be like, yeah, we know what we need to do and we're just going to do it. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, in the CPL at least, they did. And it wasn't particularly flashy all the time. It was just extremely effective.
Yeah, especially during the Island games, especially during that short format, I just kept thinking while watching that Forge has an upper hand just from a level of confidence. Because people talked about how Forge and Cavalry in 2019, they were the teams that were derived from previous iterations of other clubs, right? For Sigma, mostly Sigma, and then Foothills. Where you sort of think that a lot of people would say, okay, that does make sense, and that, you know, that they know each other. But I think for 2020, it was that they know each other, plus they have the confidence that they are the defending champions. Because you think about a game like the final against Halifax, right? How Forge was able to control that game for large swaths of it. And they very rarely ever gave a team much, maybe against Halifax in the second round. But there was kind of that quiet confidence that I think really was the difference. Because, again, every team had quality there, and Halifax included, but they just could see games out, like you said. And, you know, if I'm Kyle Becker, like getting a late run in to the box against Pacific FC in like the 98th minute or whatever,
yeah,
whatever that was. And just like, yeah, obviously they were going to win that game. You know, I think they just had the confidence in knowing they could do it, right?
Yeah, they always played a lot cooler than you might expect. Even if it was a close game and they just kind of squeaked it out, they're like, yeah, we always knew that was going to happen. I think something that worked in their favor is definitely more so than Cavalry. They were like their club's identity on the field, at least, was the exact same as it was in 2019. I mean, minus Tristan Borges, I guess, who was a big loss, but it turned out not to be that big of one, because they were still fantastic this year. I think against CPL teams, they're the team that's been there before, and they kind of have that air. I mean, we can talk about that in a very different context in terms of the CONCACAF League. But just in CPL games, especially in that final, they just have this air of competence and experience, which maybe they don't even, like, maybe they haven't necessarily even earned, because they've only been in existence for a year, but they are the guys that have been there and just feel confident that they're the best team in the league, and they prove it pretty much every time they play another CPL team.
Let's dive into CONCACAF League just from looking back now. We're a couple weeks removed from that wrapping up, but we wrote quite a bit the day after, Charlie, just about how this was not a failure. I think that with how it was set up, with the fact you were playing Arakai first, and people, you know, us included, thought, hey, you know what, there's a great chance for this. You know, it still made it to a quarterfinal, and it's, I don't think another CPL team could have done it. So like, I still see that as being a massive, massive success, especially for taking the team into 2021, right? You know, you're playing in CONCACAF League again. Heck, there's going to be players that want to play in that, right? So, I mean, how do you summarize that campaign now looking back?
Yeah, I think the further we get away from kind of that first week of December where they lost those two games, we can kind of see the whole thing in a little bit more perspective. Because at the time, I mean, after they lost to Marathon, it felt awful. Like, it was a devastating game to lose, especially in the way that they did. But you look back at it, they beat one of the best teams in the region in Taro. They played some excellent football against Limeño, and they did all of that, all of those things, even playing very close contests against Arkai and Marathon. They did all of this as their only four games in like 2.5 months, while also traveling to like, including like layovers. It was like 5 or 6 different countries, and there were 2 weeks in there where they weren't even able to train because they were quarantined back home. Like, it, if you take all of it into perspective, it really is incredible just that they were able to get to where they did. And I mean, no other CPL team is gonna have anywhere near that sort of experience heading into the future.
People like to talk about David Edgar's post-game quotes about the good old-fashioned ding-dong or whatever. But my favorite my favorite quote out of that was, again, he's on webcam from Honduras, and he seemed, his tone in his voice, he was just almost in disbelief. He's like, we had more of the ball tonight. He's like, that never happens with a team like ours that comes down here. He was just like, I'm incredibly proud. We had more of the ball. We had more shots. And like, again, as much as that game was painful, and I mean, I wouldn't go as far to say the Forge was in control of that game by any stretch, but they had more possession than Marathon. And again, you just kind of sit there and think of how far they've come and how much farther they can go, specifically into 2021. David Edgar won't be there. Obviously he's retired, but like, where do you see from a general squad building standpoint this team go? Because it wouldn't surprise me, honestly, if Bobby Smyrniotis maybe cut a few players and tried to bring some guys in, because now we're 3 years into a league. There is one big team, and now you're starting to talk about having genuine CONCACAF League aspirations, right? You're able to go to a player that maybe was pretty good on a team like, you know, I don't know, any CPL team, Val or whatever, and say, look, here's where we are. You can maybe play like a role, a specific role off the bench, whatever. But like, this is what this team has now become. And I think that might be how it goes. I'm curious what you think will happen to the Forge team going forward, recruitment wise and team building wise.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Like, just on your last point there, it's such an easy thing to sell, just the whole CONCACAF experience. Because I mean, like, if you look at it this way, Forge was one win, not even a full win. They were a couple penalty kicks away from hosting like Club America or something at Tim Hortons Field next year.
Yep.
Or a massive MLS club or any other like Liga MX giant. Can you imagine that? So if you're a player in a CPL, it's just such an easy sell for you. Because you look at this team and you're like, they are fully intending on getting to the CONCACAF Champions League the next year. I guess it would be 2022. But there are definitely, like, they're not a perfect team by any stretch. And there are obviously places where they will need to improve. I mean, obviously you have to replace David Edgar, which is a massive undertaking. And you probably need more than just one new defender, because I don't know if you can necessarily rely on Daniel Crutzen and whoever you get to replace Edgar to play every single minute, right? Of a especially a longer season with presumably possibly other competitions spread out throughout it. if everything goes well in 2021. And there are other places where I think they would want to strengthen. I mean, the finishing ability could maybe they could maybe use a guy that's a little bit more consistent at finishing off those chances. I mean, as many goals as they scored, they probably would be the first ones to tell you that they could have scored tons more if they'd been just a little bit more clinical in the box. And then the other thing that sticks out to me, I mean, you look at the international players, and are they using those spots as well as they could? I think that's maybe another question to think about. I mean, I think there's probably a very long debate to be had about Paulo Sobach, who I thought was who I thought was good, very, pretty good at times. But I mean, it'll be kind of an interesting decision whether they keep him on or maybe go a different direction with that spot in midfield. Maybe look for somebody a little bit more creative. I don't know. I don't know. There are a lot of roster decisions to make, and I think there might even be a little bit more done to this team in this offseason than maybe there was last year.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, Charlie. Even for if we could talk about Sabak briefly, he made our top 23 under 23 list, and I was a little surprised to see him as high as he was. I think he was in the top 15 or something. I'm curious if maybe I'm thinking too much, like, the impact that Tristan Borges had. But you're right. I think there are some very big decisions to make, even on some of those depth players that they have. Because for me, Maxime Tissot is the smartest player in Canadian soccer this year, because he probably took a pay cut to come to Forge. He definitely had other opportunities in the CPL. We knew there were offers out there, but he waited and he thought, you know what, I'll just there's obviously the uncertainty of the pandemic, but I'll just take a pay cut and go with these guys. Well, he's just played into December. And he's played on the best team in the CPL, right? I think that kind of pull is going to be what will bring in that next generation of players, which will only force other teams in the CPL to step up their game, I guess.
So that's a great point. I think Forge are probably able to attract a diff like a kind of player that other teams can't. Like the Tissots of the world and the Baboulis and so on and so forth. And that's going to be huge for them, I think, going forward.
Can they three-peat?
Absolutely, they can.
Right? That's the thing. It's for me, depending, this is long off season. Who knows what 2021 is going to bring, but I think people were pretty quick to jump on teams like York or Halifax or Pacific even. But like when it came down to it, it just they're too good. Like I said, it's boring to talk about, because what else are you supposed to say? Bobby, give us something else. Give us something else.